This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you, Art. What's your name?
Don.
Bang, bang!
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN, a special holiday edition with our loving family here at the Buffalo Wild Wings, Willowbrook Mall.
That's right.
In Wayne, New Jersey. ENN tonight, sponsored by our friends at All American Ford Auto Group. Shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All American Ford, the largest selection and best prices, with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. Start off by saying good evening to Michael.
I'll be dead by the time I get FICA.
And we'll say good evening to Don.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
It's interesting that was the drop. Look over there, Peter. There's a guy that says, let's do some David Blow.
Wow.
Look at that.
Wow.
Taylor Greca 2020. Let's do some.
That is an incredible shirt.
And you know it's new.
It has to be. Literally a week old. By the way, I want to remind everyone listening today that if you're not getting enough of this, or if you're in Manhattan or the five boroughs and couldn't make it to Jersey, tomorrow I'll be broadcasting live from 7 to 9 p.m. Ahead of the big Terrence Crawford fight. I'll be at Versa, which is 218 West 35th Street. You can win a pair of tickets to see the fight, hang out, have an adult beverage or two. It's Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg, all brought to you by Versa. A rooftop and restaurant experience like no other. Working on some big guests for tomorrow.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Mike Tyson?
I'm working on that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm working
Max
on
Max Kellerman?
I don't think I can get Max.
Max doesn't like you, right?
No, Max and I have a great relationship.
Okay.
I've known Max since long before I was ever in sports. When I was working on a Tyson documentary with a small handicap, I interviewed Max Kellerman when he worked in D.C. Do you remember when he used to do his show?
No.
Okay. Yeah, when he was first on ESPN television, they did the show at the same studio where they do PTI.
Okay.
And Max used to be in D.C. But anyways, no, Max is busy tomorrow night, I believe. But his partner on television.
Stephen A. Smith.
That's right. Stephen A. Smith is going to be on the program.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
It went from we didn't know if Stephen A. knew me to now he's going to be a guest on Fight Night with Peter Rosenberg.
Well, the show hasn't happened yet. So
it's a great point by Don.
We'll reassess on Monday.
You know, I saw earlier today in what I believe is really the future of television as we know it, I saw online a debate between Stephen A. Smith and Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who won?
Steve.
Rob Pelinka.
That's exactly right. All right, guys. A lot to get to in the world of sports. And we start out with something sad and pretty crazy to see last night, which is that former NBA commissioner David Stern, who's 77 years old, had a brain hemorrhage yesterday and had to have emergency surgery. There was a call from a Midtown restaurant yesterday, where he was having lunch, and he was transferred to Mount Sinai Medical Center, and, we're waiting to hear on how he's doing, but he had to have emergency surgery yesterday. Of course, he was the commissioner of my youth, my entry into basketball, 1984 until 2014. So huge for the NBA. I mean, where they went between 84 and 2014 may be as big a growth as you've seen in any professional sport over any period of time.
He took them from a tape delay NBA finals to an international power. So he was an unbelievable commissioner and handed over a great product to Adam Silver, who's doing a good job himself.
Yeah.
But boy, it really does tell you how fleeting life is. He's having lunch and then something goes wrong with his brain and he has to be rushed to a hospital. So we send our best wishes.
It's really hard to say that anybody was better than Pete Rozelle and where the NFL went when he took over as commissioner, but David Stern's darn close. As you said, tape-delayed finals, not every game on television. Lot of drug problems, if you remember, in the NBA. The pre-salary cap, teams folding, teams moving at a rapid rate, and then he took over in 84, and then you just see how it just became, in many pockets in this country, the second biggest sport, and that's saying something for sure, considering what he took over in 1984.
Let's go to something positive.
Please.
We've talked about him a lot today, and we're probably going to continue to talk about him, in my opinion, all the way until mid-February, and that would be Lamar Jackson, who yesterday broke Michael Vick's single-season quarterback rushing record. Vic totaled 1,039 yards back in 2006. However, Lamar broke his childhood idol's record with a 5-yard run in the first quarter against the Jets. He finished the game with 8 carries for 86 yards, leading his team. 42-21 Baltimore win over Sam Darnold and the Jets. Vic went on social media and said, "Lamar, I just want to say congratulations on making history, one of the many milestones that you will surpass in your career. Best of luck in everything that you do. You deserve it. Keep up the hard work, and I'll always be rooting for you."
It was nice, and Fox had that locked and loaded. Obviously, he recorded that during the weekend, and, you know, he took care of it right away. And this guy's special. And I think the thing that makes the story even more amazing is that a guy like Bill Polian, and not just Bill Polian, it shouldn't be piling on Bill Polian. So many people said he's not a quarterback. He should be a wide receiver. Well, not only is he playing quarterback, he's playing at an elite level. He's going to be the MVP. His team's probably the favorite for the Super Bowl. So a lot of the talent evaluators were dead wrong. I mean, really, really wrong.
And, you know, he's playing with a chip on his shoulder. That whole team will be. Because there's still a lot of people that buy into the Patriots still being the team to beat. I'm not one of them. I think their offense has really struggled. I think this Baltimore team is better. But they will probably go in with many people still curious to see what this team can do. And it was only last year where he looked like he was in over his head in the postseason. So there's still, it's a dangerous combination, right, Peter, of a team that's so good, but yet can still, I think, use the disrespect card in their room. It's hard for coaches to be able to say, nobody believes in us, but I think that, that's still marketable within that room. As long as the Patriots loom in your own conference, you could still play that card, can't you?
I don't know. I think there's a chance, Don, that by the time we're looking at week one of the playoffs, they are so talked about as the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
That becomes a hard play.
There are still people. I thought after the loss to the Chiefs at home that the bloom would be off the rose, but there are still people that until you, even Trey, when he was on Wednesday, Trey Winko's like, I'm sorry, until I see it happen, they're still my pick. I still think there's a large segment of the football population that believes that.
And I understand they don't feel like feeling stupid again. Because how many times have we not believed in the Patriots? This has now happened the last few years. I feel like, oh, this isn't the same Patriots team. Now, this one does feel different. This team feels like it has real holes. But I understand why people are hesitant to start crowning another team in the AFC.
Now, as much as I'm down on the Patriots, do you still give them the best chance to beat Baltimore, or would it be Kansas City?
I still give the Patriots the best chance to beat them.
They have the better defense than Kansas City, although Spagnuolo's done a good job with Kansas City's defense.
Now, Andrew, do you remember 1990 when Randall Cunningham came just short of 1,000 yards? Or too young for you? I remember it so well. That season was amazing because Cunningham not only rushed for 940 yards, but in a game, I think he had a 96-yard punt.
My God. I think it was a Buffalo, wasn't it?
It was a quick kick or whatever, and he literally got like a 40-yard roll.
It's crazy to me that I'm a 22-year-old in 1990. I'm in college, and Andrew doesn't remember. A man of college. And yet Andrew was too young to remember. He was 6.
But there's an age difference, Don.
I'm just saying that look 91. How mature he is. He's got a family. He's got kids older than me, for God. Older
I
than
will
Mike
fight
is.
You after this show.
He's got a beard that is utter perfection.
In the same game, it looks like Cunningham had a 91-yard punt and a 95-yard touchdown pass. And it's just really weird to think about. It was the Giants. I apologize. It's bad news for you.
Deep Eddy Vodka was named after the oldest swimming hole in Austin, Texas, a place where people gathered for good times that never seemed to end. Their authentic American vodkas are 10 times distilled and made with real, all-natural ingredients and fruit juice. Wherever they go, they bring people together for carefree good times. That's the spirit of Deep Eddy. So grab your friends, mix with music, and a splash of Deep Eddy Vodka. Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly.
I remember him punting against the Giants and having a long one, but I think the one that the 99 I think was Buffalo.
How often did he punt?
Well, it was one of those like I forget it was going for it on fourth down or third down, and he was in the shotgun and he just kicked it.
Okay,
instead of,
this one against the Giants that I just watched, Randall Cunningham.
He's watching YouTube as he does ENN.
That's how great he is.
Thank you very much, Don. He was just set up for a punt. Like, I'm just trying to picture in this era a time when a starting premier quarterback just randomly from his own end zone, didn't line up in the shotgun, just stood back as the punter, booted from the back of his own end zone, and it landed at the opposing 30.
I mean,
it's not normal.
I love this guy.
Cunningham. When I say sports hate, it's because he killed the Giants. You remember on Monday Night Football, the Carl Banks going after his legs, and he falls back but still throws the touchdown pass as a member of the Vikings in that playoff game, coming back from 9 points down with 2 minutes to play. He really broke that whole myth of the scrambling quarterback. It's just that he bounced around. He got banged up a little bit, but he had an amazing career. You tell me you wouldn't draft him? Like, if you knew what his career was going to be, I mean, no championships, but if you knew what his career was going to be, why you would draft him.
Oh, I believe Randall Cunningham was one of the first great quarterbacks that I watched in the 80s.
Can I take a poll here? How many people even care about Randall Cunningham? Why are these guys talking about this?
No one agreed with you.
No one.
They didn't respond to you.
Would you rather have something else?
No, they're not responding. Look, oh my God, what? That was as bad as the high five with Edith. That was a virtual Edith high five again.
We talk about how he was killing the Giants. There are Giant fans here that hate Randall Cunningham for that reason. I'm sorry, we sported it up. I apologize.
I mean, did Cunningham play for the Redskins at one point or what?
No, but he killed the Giants.
And the Redskins.
So why do the Giant fans want to hear it? It's a holiday party. We're giving them a gift, and you're talking about an irrelevant player.
Sometimes you talk, it out.
Player.
Sometimes when you talk it out, you feel better.
Let's do a segment on Bobby Douglas, because he's third in yards from quarterback. Yeah, of the Chicago Bears. Two S's at the end. Go.
I think Randall Cunningham opened the door, though, for Lamar Jackson. I don't think that was a crazy transition we just made. Don, we should just go. Why don't we just go full silent the rest of the show?
I'm disgusted with him.
He's making me
but
sick.
But it's a holiday party, and it's a season of giving. I'm going to give.
Well, why don't you give me a break and stop talking about Randall Cunningham.
Well, here you go. I have a barely understandable Jeff Passan tweet about Yoenis Cespedes.
Why?
It's about math and numbers. Everyone get excited, guys. Big baseball stuff.
Why?
The amended contract of Yoenis Cespedes, which has been reported, includes a settlement for salaries that the Mets withheld in 2019, as well as a significant reduction of his 2020 salary.
Okay.
Mets will save well over $10 million as part of the settlement.
Now, the only way that Cespedes would have done this, if the injuries were in fact totally his fault,
yes,
that he was not responsible, he's riding a horse, he goes into a ditch. There's no way a player gives back money unless he's caught dead to rights, and he must have done something just awful, because the players' union would never allow a player to give back money.
I told you he was impaled by a unicorn. That's what happened. And how do you sell that to the public? You can't. But he knew he was wrong riding that unicorn, and that's why he had to give up the money.
Well, Le'Veon Bell was back last night, by the way, going back to the football game from last night. And after coming off the sickness, as it's known, Le'Veon rushed for 87 yards in the loss to the Ravens. But he looked fresh. 21 carries, Don, against a pretty good Ravens defense. He began the night with only 143 rushes on the season, 14th in the NFL. His previous single game high was 70 yards. I mean, it's really weird to have a player that I think has played pretty well, and last night he had his season high rushing the ball at 84 yards.
Well, and when he said that he felt like he was having his best season, statistically it wasn't true, but he's gotten lost by his team. And now he's healthy and feeling good and the season's over. But this has been a waste of a year. It's been a waste of 2 years. He didn't play last year, and now he's been on a bad team and just hasn't gotten the breaks. And I think he's going to be let go. I think they're going to trade him, and we'll see if he ends up on a team that will utilize him. And hopefully his career is not going to be over because he's not getting any younger.
Congratulations are in order for Andrew. The Sixers beat the Celtics last night soundly.
He told you before the game. He said he was even excited.
Yeah.
And you seemed like you weren't even sure they were playing.
I was not sure they were
playing. But Andrew was very excited.
Yeah, no, Andrew and I are different level basketball fans, there's no doubt. He was pumped up, and I was like, oh, the Celtics are playing tonight, sweet. Embiid scores 38 points. And this comes just on the heels of Chuck and Shaq criticizing Embiid for his performance against the Nuggets on Tuesday. He said they were right at Thursday morning shoot-around, and then he put on a clinic. He said, quote, "For them to say that I have the potential to be the best player in the world, and I haven't shown that, and I should let it be shown, that says a lot. They've been there. They've done it. They're Hall of Famers. So it just shows me I have to play harder and like I can. He's good, man. He's really, really good.
Who is best equipped to push the Bucks? I mean, the Bucks are a machine right now. What, 16 straight wins? And Giannis didn't even play in the last victory.
Yeah, I think when all is said and done, I think it'll be Philadelphia in the East that's the most likely to push them.
Toronto's pretty good, too.
And so is Boston.
Yeah.
I think
if the Nets get back Kyrie Irving, they're playing great without Kyrie Irving.
When it's all said and done, I believe the top four will go Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, Toronto.
But nobody beats them, though, right?
I don't think so.
You don't think the Knicks slip in?
They'll slip into the lottery.
No. They're diving into the lottery. Hey, the Knicks are coming off a big win. They beat the Golden State Warriors.
I know.
You know what that means?
No. In a different time.
Steph Curry. If you just cheat.
No, he doesn't. He's not playing.
If you fight. Klay Thompson.
Not playing.
Kevin Durant.
He's in Brooklyn, not playing.
If you fudge.
Excuse me?
Draymond's playing.
Okay, I got it.
If you fudge the date by a year, it's a gorgeous win.
That's a great point by Don. If we had said 1 year ago, the Knicks got an overtime win in Golden State.
Last year's holiday park. People, we're opening the show.
How do you think the people at their new arena who paid for all of these expensive tickets at this sparkling new arena, they paid for them 2 years ago up front for like a 3-year lease, and they're seeing the worst basketball in the NBA at
Fix
high
that.
Prices.
I'm going to be.
I don't know. Is there an example? Help me out, Michael.
Yeah, huh?
Because you're way smarter than me. Is there an example where people pay crazy prices to go see a basketball team that's lousy because of the arena?
Yeah, but I don't think these people are not paying to see the arena. They thought the dynasty was going to continue.
No.
And it might. I think it'll pick back up.
Well, I mean, it's like you're paying a tax for what's about to come because they'll be good again. But Michael, that building's in San Francisco. There's big money in San Francisco. I think that's a place to be seen now. And I'm wondering if the Warriors have that kind of cachet that even banged up, is that a place for the elite of the Bay Area to go?
Yeah.
They're not going to Oakland anymore. They're not going to an antiquated arena. It's a brand new arena in San Francisco. I bet you they don't mind.
I'm going to be with those overpriced ticket buyers on Christmas Day.
I thought you were going to be in L.A. on Christmas Day.
No, I'm going to San Francisco on Christmas Day. Right. I'm going to L.A. right after.
So this is your West Coast tour that you do.
That's correct. Right. And I'm going to see two teams that trip. I'm going to go see the Warriors and I'm going to go see the Lakers.
Wow.
I'll be in Anaheim in less than 12 hours.
I'm considering adding that to my trip as well. No, but it's funny. I'm going to see the Warriors-Rockets game, a Christmas Day ABC vehicle.
Good pick.
Exactly, that you thought you were going to see. I'm excited to see the Rockets blow them out. It'll be fun.
It's not going to matter. I heard that building is so gorgeous. You're going to have a good time. You're not going to care that the Warriors stink.
Yeah, you have no rooting interest.
And it's possible that Jim Harden goes for 50 points.
When he was emailing trying to get Schnur his way into the Garden by courtside seats, the Knicks were lousy then, too.
He just wants to be seen.
Wants to be seen, yeah. Man.
The Giants, sadly, have waived cornerback Janoris.
I'm not sad
Jenkins.
About it. I thought it was the thing to do. I was actually excited when they did.
You guys,
I pumped my fist.
Everyone here feels okay about the release of Janoris Jenkins.
You know what? So does Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah,
showing the class he's exhibited throughout his Giant career.
Hold on, let me just look up his very easy to find Twitter handle. There it is, Jay Jenks Lockdown. My favorite follow. 8 hours ago, he tweeted, "Best news ever. Thank you."
What a clown.
3 hours later, he tweeted, "I just want to thank the organization for the opportunity, and good luck to my brothers that remain a Giant."
Didn't write that.
"Again, want my fans to know my intentions are always pure and genuine. Hashtag, rabbit love everybody."
I think I would bet an incredible amount of money that he did not write that.
And by the way, can we all just admit that rabbit love everybody is a big Yasiel Puig ripoff? That's a huge Puig Twitter ripoff.
I wouldn't know.
Don't you remember that?
No.
Puig loves everybody. It was like his thing on everything.
But you want to really get upset? Read the mentions. Like how many people actually support him. I was reading things last night about whatever happened to free speech. I mean, really. It's sad. It's sad out there.
Thank you for playing hard here when we had no chance, someone wrote.
Oh, that's great, because when they had a chance, he didn't play hard.
Yeah, you know, play hard. You get paid $12 million a year, you should play hard.
Sorry that we bothered you.
Oh, you got to wrap things up. We got a big time band that's
go ball for someone else. You deserve to be on a contender.
He deserves
and somebody
it.
Will pick him up too. That's what's really sad.
No, that will do it. We have big things to do, so that'll do it for ENN this Friday edition.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.